Welcome, everybody, to another Baseball America podcast. I'm Connor Glassy, and joining me this afternoon is my partner in crime, my Words with Friends competitor, and my carpool buddy, Nathan Rohde. How are you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing well, Connor. A little tired from the recent schedule, but excited that we're looking at a new class of draft prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a busy couple weeks for the two of us. Right after the 2011 draft wrapped up, the big summer events for the 2012 draft started. I went down to Fort Myers, Florida, June 16th to 19th for PG National, and then came back here, and you and I tag-teamed USA Baseball Tournament of Stars. So let's jump into the good stuff. Who were some of the players that stood out for you at TOS?
Well, first and foremost, we finally got to see Lucas Giolito in action. You know, a big, broad-shouldered, 6'6", 230-pound right-hander from Southern California.
Yep.
He walks out on the mound, and immediately you're like, okay, here's a guy. And, you know, he's got a very easy delivery, kind of lulls you to sleep. I know we've been saying that phrase quite a bit when trying to describe him because it's very just slow and deliberate.
It's real slow.
But when he releases the ball, it's on you quick. Because not only does he have that long stride and extension from being a big guy, but he throws 92 to 95 and is up to 96.
Yeah, it looks plenty fast because of the velocity is obviously there. It looks a little faster, though, just because he's so relaxed with that delivery.
Yeah, and he's gotten really comfortable with it, which is great. And it's an easy delivery, too. There's not a ton of effort,
right,
which is good, you know, because, you know, there'll be less wear and tear on his body. But also, at the same time, you're like, okay, well, he doesn't need a lot of effort because he's 6'6". But he's got a good curveball, too. You know, it's a little inconsistent right now, but it does have sharp break to it. And obviously it's a power curveball coming from, you know, his strong arm. You didn't see it very much, but there is a mid-80s changeup in there with some sink to it, which, you know, has the makings of being a good pitch.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would like to see him mix in that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would like, you know, speed it up just a little bit with the delivery. Get a little more rhythm
tempo
in there, I think. Yeah. Yeah, but obviously he was a guy coming in that already had a name for himself. Went to high school with Austin Wilson at Harvard-Westlake there and was a known guy coming in, and he was really fun to watch. You're right.
He sure was. He definitely did not disappoint. So he obviously jumped out among the arms, and I know there's a few other guys that we'll get to. But as for the hitters, I was real impressed with some of the infielders, Gavin Cecchini, C.J. Hinojosa, Rio Ruiz. Those guys really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Gavin we've seen for a couple of years now because we watched his brother Garen play. You know, leading up to him being picked by the Red Sox. But Gavin's a little bit of a different egg.
He is.
You know, he's right. He's not the left-handed swinger that Garen was. But Garen was, you know, kind of a big, broad-shouldered, you know, corner guy, whereas Gavin is really lean and has a trim waist. And, you know, he's a guy that you think is going to be able to stay up the middle.
Yeah.
You know, Gavin played shortstop in high school, but everybody knew, and even him said,
Garen,
you know,
played.
Or Garen, sorry. Garen, this is going to reoccur, I'm pretty sure. Garen played shortstop in high school, but even he was like, you know, I know when I get the pro ball, it's probably going to be third base, maybe corner outfield, something like that. Whereas Gavin, you know, you like to think that he can stay at shortstop, but at the very least, he's going to probably be a second baseman because he's good defensively as well.
Yeah, he's got to stay up the middle. But the common thread they have is they can both hit.
Yes, they can both absolutely rake. Garen probably had a little more power just because of his body type, but Gavin's got some pop.
Oh, yeah.
But he can hit to all fields, and he just hits line drives and just squares the ball up consistently. And we just saw him, you know, hit it all over the place, the whole Tournament of Stars and through trials and even at the Prospect Classic.
Yeah, that was the funny thing is he hit one off. It was off the bowl sign, but he didn't hit the bowl where you win a steak, and he didn't hit the grass where you win a salad. He hit a cloud.
And he said that's for cotton candy.
That's right.
which also tells you the Cecchini family is highly entertaining, and we'll have more on them coming up this summer. We're going to finally do the Cecchini family story.
Yep.
But while Garen is definitely the talker, Gavin is the quiet yet very witty and funny guy.
Yeah.
His mom calls him Mr. Funny Man. So they're both a pleasure to talk to and definitely, obviously, watch on the baseball field.
No doubt.
Okay. So, but Hinojosa, another guy that looks like he can stay up the middle. You like to think he can stay at shortstop right now. He's got I don't want to, you know, use this as a comp because they're different players, but the body type for me is kind of like what Phillip Evans was. He's not real tall. You know, he's probably 5'10", maybe 5'11". And he's got, you know, a strong lower half. I don't want to say thick because that, you know, it has a negative connotation to it. But it's not real lean, you know, kind of like Gavin is. But he's got good range, he's got good hands, and he's got a strong, strong arm from shortstop. So you like to think that, you know, he can stay at that position. And he hits the all fields, too. You know, he got the first hit for the high schoolers in the Prospect Classic. He turned on a Ryan Stanek fastball, which, you know,
smoked it down the line.
You know, that's pretty good. So
absolutely, yeah.
And he's got some
there.
Pop, too, for a guy his size. So he's definitely an interesting one. But my personal favorite, I can't call him a cheese ball because he's too high of a prospect and too much of a known entity. But Rio Ruiz, not only is he just a great kid, but he's just he's a good athlete. He's very strong. He's got those broad shoulders. There's some room to fill out. You know, play shortstop in high school, probably going to move to third base. Got a really strong arm. We saw him sitting 90 to 92 on the mound. We've heard he's up to 94. He's got a good slider, so he's got some prospects there too. But he's like 6'1", maybe 6'2", 180 pounds with some room to fill out. But my favorite thing is he's got really strong hands and forearms. I know I've said it before, and I've told you, and then you witnessed it. The guy's got an 80 handshake.
Yeah, and you know, it's really firm, and that's not just an indicator of, hey, this kid's good at making a first strong impression, but those strong hands, they translate. I mean, because that's what scouts look for in hitters, is they want the strong hands.
The strong hands help you go the other way because you can control the bat. It also helps with bat speed, which, you know, is a very important factor for being able to hit and hit with power. So when you've got that strength, you know, hitting isn't easy, but it comes easier when you have, you know, that going for you.
Yeah.
And he's got it, and there's definitely some pop in there. You know, he showed it in batting practice, but he hits line drives to all fields, which, you know, is a good starting point for a high school guy. You know, we do like to see that. It's fun to see that light tower power, but not everybody has it. But if you don't have that power, we don't want to see you, you know, dropping back and just hitting long fly balls. You know, if you can't go, you know, to the light tower right now, hit it to the gaps. You know, hit those hard line drives, because that power will come as you get stronger and, you know, learn your swing a little bit more. So he didn't really, you know, crush the ball at TOS or trials, but he did show some things, you know, where you think it's in there.
Sure.
You know, he has a few kinks to work out in the swing maybe. But, you know, the overall package is certainly something to be excited about.
Yeah, no doubt. And he has that versatility that they're looking for when they're putting together a 20-man roster.
Exactly. You know, he can jump on the mound and, you know, give you, you know, he might be that. He might be a closer. You know, he might be that kind of that Lance McCullers mold where you've got your, you know, your infielder that can hit and, you know, play the field and then come in at the end of the game and shut somebody down with his power stuff.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about a couple of guys that stood out for me. And, you know, all these guys are guys that stood out for both of us. We were just splitting it up. But Lucas Sims on the mound was real impressive for me. I mean, he's a strong kid, 6'2", 195. And the fastball was firm. I mean, he's sitting 91, 93. He touched 95 out there. And I think this is a guy that has the potential for 3-plus pitches. I mean, he showed the makings. You know, it's inconsistent right now. Needs to sharpen everything up. But it looked like it was in there. He showed a nice changeup and then a real good curveball, 73, 76 mile an hour, you know, snapped off a hammer curveball at times. So a couple other arms. Hunter Verant is a left-hander from California. He's from Camarillo High School in California.
Same high school as Delman Young.
Oh, I didn't – okay, yeah, I didn't realize that. But he's fascinating to me because this is a guy that's only been pitching for 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a left-hander that was 89 to 93, which is really good velocity for a left-hander, especially when you consider this is, you know, he's very new to pitching.
Yeah, and he's still got the kind of a thin frame. He's got room to fill out. You know, there we have that discussion and that argument as to whether Southern California and Florida and Texas pitchers are really projectable because they throw year-round already. But in terms of the body, you know, there is, you know, room for added strength, which maybe it won't lend to higher velocity, but at least, you know, you would like to think that he'll be able to maintain the velocity he has deeper into games rather than, you know, wearing out. Not that he did, because obviously we only saw him in a couple inning stints, but that's one of the things that you would hope for in that projection.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, you know, this is a guy that is projectable just because he's new to pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not your typical SoCal pitcher that's been pitching year-round since he's 12,
right.
You know?
That is true, too.
But, yeah, he was interesting. I talked to him down at PG, and he told me that he really just likes to watch TV and model himself after pitchers, and you could see that on the mound. He kind of had a Cliff Lee delivery.
Yeah.
Sort of where he kind of sits back on that back leg. And
it's got that little twist to it, and kind of, you know, the lean and the twist that, you know, I mean, if we say Cliff Lee, everybody knows what his delivery is like.
Yeah.
And Verrant is clearly modeling himself after that. And I think he had said that to you when you interviewed him. You know,
right.
He said he brought up Cliff Lee as a guy he likes to watch. And then when we're sitting there, I can name three or four times that he came out to pitch, and a scout behind us said, look at that. Is that Cliff Lee?
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's working for him right now. And he's got the stuff, too. He's got the makings of the raw stuff.
Yeah, it's not just the fastball. He actually throws four different pitches already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, just a fascinating guy for me, considering how relatively new he is to pitching and the stuff that he's already showing. It's real impressive.
It certainly is exciting, and I'm sure UCLA loves that they got the verbal commitment from him, but now are starting to sweat whether he's actually going to end up on campus or not.
Yeah,
but that's a long ways away.
It is. And one other arm that stood out for me at the event, you know, Sims and Verrant, both those guys made the trials roster. This guy actually didn't, and it was kind of surprising for me because he's good. It's Jamie Callahan from Dillon High School in South Carolina. But this is a right-handed pitcher, you know, 6'3", 195, nice, thin frame, 89-92 fastball. He gets real good downhill movement on it and has some good arm side run as well. This is another guy that's mixing in four pitches. I mean, he threw both a slider and a curveball, and then he threw a changeup. And, you know, those pitches were a little bit inconsistent for him, but they were better in his second outing at Tournament of Stars. And, you know, this is a guy that, he's young. I didn't realize this, but he doesn't even turn 17 until August 24th.
So he'll turn 18 after the draft.
He's 16 years old. Yeah, he'll turn 18 after the draft. I mean, to kind of put it in perspective, he wasn't even born yet when OJ was running from the cops, which is crazy to think. It makes me feel old. It's probably going to make some of our listeners feel old, but he's a baby. You know, he's one of the younger kids in this class. So when you think about the stuff he already has with his frame and with how young he is,
that's something that scouts are, you know, looking at, and it's something that will certainly excite them. And I was a fan of both breaking balls, you know.
Yeah.
The first time out, I was looking at my notes, and, you know, I didn't see, an average or plus breaking ball. But the second time out, there was definitely a difference between the slider and the curve, and both flashed being, you know, good pitches,
you know,
the potential of being, you know, above average. So
yeah, and he admitted that his stuff wasn't quite as good the first time out.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely sharper for him in his second outing there. But yeah, you're right. They're different pitches. They don't blend together like some kids do if they try to throw two pitches that kind of both get slurvy. He definitely has the big loopy 12-6 curveball, and then a sharper, harder slider
with the angle to it.
Yeah. So yeah, those were some guys that stood out for us at Tournament of Stars. Backing up a little bit, I mentioned I went down to PG National, and there were a few guys I'd like to just point out down there that weren't at Tournament Stars. McCullers, Lance McCullers, obviously I'm going to kind of gloss over him because he kind of...
Who's Lance McCullers?
Exactly. He came into this. He's like, you know, the most well-known prospect in his class probably. His dad was a big leaguer. He's been on the map for a long time, and he was...
I saw him pitch before he threw a varsity pitch.
Right. We've been talking about Lance for a long time, so he kind of is going to just get swept under the rug a little bit to kind of shine the spotlight on some of these guys that aren't as well known. But McCullers, real quick, was 94 to 97 with a really hard 84-87 slider.
Just another day at the office.
Exactly. Just another day out there on the mound for Lance. But Taylor Cherry was a guy, another, you know, semi-well-known name coming in just because he's huge. He's 6'9", 260 pounds. I mean, this guy
looks like
is a behemoth out there on the mound. But the interesting thing about him, a lot of times when you see guys that are that big, there's either a lot of effort in the delivery or it's just very uncoordinated because they're still learning how to grow into that body. But this guy, he has great balance. Mm-hmm. He's effortless. And he was 91-92. He touched 94, but sat in that 91-92 range. So, you know, just zero effort. I mean, you know, you think if he puts a little bit more oomph in it, maybe 94, 95, 96, who knows? But really impressive with that. It's a heavy fastball with a lot of life. Nobody was squaring this guy up. His breaking ball, he calls this curveball, but it's a little slurvy right now because he kind of throws from a lower three-quarter arm slot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe he'll switch over to a slider and utilize that arm slot a little better. But just real interesting because of the size and the fact that he has such good body control. Carlos Correa is a shortstop from the Puerto Rican Baseball Academy. The first thing you notice about him, he's got a great body. He's 6'3", 190 pounds, and he looks really smooth out there at shortstop. He's light on his feet, he has really good hands, and he has a strong arm. So, you know, the one thing that maybe concerns me is he's like a fringy runner. He's maybe average, maybe a little bit below average as a runner. So, you know, maybe he doesn't stay at shortstop, but the actions and the arm strength are good enough that he's definitely going to get that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not, you know, how much he grows will probably decide whether he'll have to move to third base or something like that. But
it reminds me of Giovanni Meyer a couple of years ago.
You know,
everything about him said that, except for the run tool, said that he would stay at shortstop.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, with Gio Meyer, there's questions about the bat and this and that. But just from a purely defensive standpoint, the only thing that we were thinking about with Gio Meyer was the run tool, whether that would, you know, hinder him from staying at short.
Yeah.
And it seems to have not been a problem so far. So maybe that point is brought up with Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Correa might be a little bit more physical than mm-hmm. Gio was at that point. But, you know, he showed some exciting tools with the bat as well. He gets extended well, a little bit raw at the plate, you know, but showed flashes of some power.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? He's definitely going to be an interesting guy, and I'm really excited for you to see him later on in the summer when you go down to East Coast Pro.
Sure.
Imagine he'll be there. Two other guys, real quick. One is Rhett Weissman, an outfielder from Buckingham Brown and Nichols in Cambridge, Massachusetts, near Boston. And Rhett actually did come out to Tournament Stars. He was at Tournament Stars, but he didn't perform so well out there.
And that's a good example, and I'll let you talk, you know, a little about what you saw, but this is a good example as to why we go to so many events and, you know, we do have our opinions on players, but we try to, you know, kind of level things off a little bit because you saw Rhett Weissman and you really liked him and, you know, you're like, Nathan, you got to watch this guy at Tournament of Stars. And I saw him swing and miss about 15 times
games. 0 for 11. In Tournament of Stars, and it was definitely a rough week for him. But you know what? He's a Northeast kid. I talked to a scout who was like, yeah, he didn't look good down here, but he definitely has the tools. And you know who else didn't look good down here a couple years ago? It was Mike Trout.
Yeah, Jonathan Singleton didn't look good at Tournament of Stars either. So that's why we get these multiple looks. Like, I'm not going to write Rhett Weissman off. I'm going to give you a hard time about it, but I'm not going to write him off because, you know, I'm going to see him down the road and, you know, see if he comes around and, you know, maybe it was just a bad week for him because it was four games, you know? And
yeah, exactly.
You can have
big leaguers
slump.
Have bad, you know, bad stretches, you know what
exactly.
I mean? But, like, the reason I really like Rhett Weissman, and it's not just because he's about the nicest kid I've ever met, it's because, you know, he's a young guy, too. He was still 16 at PG National. He turned 17, actually, the first day of Tournament of Stars. But he is 6'1", 195. He's chiseled. I mean, he's got a great body. Buckingham Brown and Nichols is a private school, and I thought it was more of an academic school, and it is. But I didn't realize that every student there is required to play three sports every year.
That's interesting.
It is. It's fascinating. So he played football. I don't think he's going to play football this year. He's going to, you know, focus more on baseball. But he did football, where he was a wide receiver and a defensive back, putting his speed to use. And then he did weight training in the winter to get ready for baseball. So football, weight training, and baseball. This year, he's going to get a waiver for football. He's going to box, which is awesome.
Works on agility, which
is,
it
works,
you know,
agility,
definitely
it works strength,
needed.
You know, speed.
Endurance.
Exactly. So he's a left-hand hitter with a great body, and he has a power-speed combination, and he's young. So I'm going to stick with Rhett Weissman, and I hope that you see him a little bit better down there at East Coast Pro. So you'll see what I saw, because he looked really good at PG. And then one other guy I want to throw out there real quick. I don't think players can really be sleepers when they're at some of these big events, but Nathan Kirby is a left-hander from James River High School in Midlothian, Virginia. And he might be a little bit of a sleeper right now, because he threw on the last day of PG when a bunch of scouts had already left.
Mm-hmm.
So there were only a few guys left to see him. But he's 6'2", 185. He had a fastball 88 to 90 miles an hour with good life. And then flashed a nice slider between 78 and 82 miles an hour. So a good guy to keep an eye on. And it's actually a pretty good year, shaping up to be a pretty good year in Virginia. So we might have to drive up and see him this spring.
It's not far. Midlothian's right outside of Richmond. James River is actually a good program, one of the better programs in the state of Virginia. You know, Daniel Mars and Austin Stadler, both at Wake Forest. And you can say what you want about where their careers have gone, but they came out of James River,
yeah.
And they were good, you know, college recruits at the time of being seniors. And so James River definitely has made a name for itself in terms of baseball high school program.
Yeah. All right. So after Tournament Stars, you know, they picked 40 players for trials.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had USA Baseball put on the first Prospect Classic, which pitted the 18U trials team against the Collegiate National team. I mean, I love the idea. You know, the 18U team got blown out. I mean, the first game was 12-1. The second game was 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look past the score in something like this. And I really thought it was a great idea, and I'm excited to see it down the road. What about you?
Absolutely. You know, I think it is a great idea, and the scouts love it too. Like, they don't care about the score, because, you know, they get to see some of the best players in the country. You know, between the two rosters, you had 62 of the best players in the country on one field,
yep,
playing against each other. So not only do the college you get to see the college guys, but you also get to see the 18U guys play against better competition, you know, that you're not going to see them play in the spring probably. So from that aspect, I think it, you know, is a great idea. And moving forward, too, like, the other thing is with the 18U team, a lot of those guys were on pitch counts, and they're rolling out a new pitcher every inning. So
yep,
if that one pitcher comes out and has his bad inning, you know, that's the college team's score for the game.
Yep.
Whereas the college team, the pitchers were more on a rotation. So, you know, Ryan Stanek can come out and get into a groove and throw 5, 6, 7 innings, you know, against the 18U team, and whereas they're kind of filtering
right
guys in and out, and it can be hard to kind of get into a groove and really compete like that. So that's why you have to look beyond the score. But
absolutely,
from a pure showcase standpoint, I thought it was great. You know, we got to see some of the 18U guys stand out against better competition, and we just simply got to see the college guys. And the college guys, you know, were facing good competition too.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, the pitchers might have had an advantage facing inexperienced hitters, but they college hitters had to step in and face high school guys that are, you know, sitting in the low 90s, some touching the mid-90s.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Lucas Giolito, he's not going to go to college. You know, you're not going to see a guy like that very often in the college game. You know, he's going to go straight into pro ball probably.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good for the college guys too at the same time.
Yeah, no, I think things would have been different if the 18U team was on a rotation and, you know, you saw 5 innings of Giolito and then
mm-hmm.
5 innings of Sims or whoever, you know.
Absolutely.
Ty Hensley. I mean, if they had, you know, the chance to work and get into more of a groove and, you know, show off what they got for 5 innings instead of just one, I think
right,
things would have been different. But the event as a whole just works on so many levels. I mean, from a scouting perspective, there's no event out there that is, you know, more of a replica of pro ball.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, other high school events, and there's obviously the summer college leagues, but there's nothing that, you know,
blends the 17, 18-year-olds against the 20 to 21-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. So I loved it from that perspective. And then, you know, from USA's perspective, it gives them, with the 18U trials roster, it gives them a great opportunity to kind of evaluate these guys and see,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, this is what this guy did against the college team. Gives us a better idea of how he's going to do when he's facing Cuba.
Exactly. So
yep,
I think it's a good idea, and I definitely hope that they bring it back. And I know that this, from a publicity standpoint and drawing fans to the stadium, the score is going to be a factor. But I hope people look beyond that, because it was truly an enjoyable event, and we got a lot out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking with a couple guys out there, a couple, you know, scouts, and they were saying, you know, there might be between the two teams, there might be 20 first-rounders out there. Mm-hmm. Would you take the over or under on that?
I think I'll take the under.
I think I would, too.
Just from the standpoint of it's July.
Yeah.
And the draft is in 11 months. Yeah. And a lot can change between now and then. But, you know, if the draft were tomorrow, you know, it probably would be 20 first-rounders on that field between those two teams.
Yep.
The talent's there, and there's no question about that.
Yeah. Who stood out for you on the college national team?
Well, I like Devin Marrero. I saw him in high school, and he struggled a little bit his senior year, so he went off to college. He's kind of what we thought he would be. He's a smooth fielding shortstop. He's got an ability to hit. He's got a little bit of leverage in his swing. You like the body. I'm definitely a big fan of his.
Me too.
He's the college shortstop. He's going to go good because of what he offers. You know, you can't sit here and say he's going to be a perennial all-star or, you know, really put an exact result on him, but he's a college shortstop that handles the position and handles the bat and shows some power. What more do you want?
It's projection, a little bit of everything. And he looked real nice out there at shortstop.
Absolutely. So he definitely jumped out to me. I tell you what, I can watch Michael Lorenzen and Tyler Naquin throw all day.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Those guys have absolute cannons.
They do.
Naquin, I'd like a little better look at the plate, but defensively and in terms of speed, he looks, you know, very good. And certainly those are some good tools to start working with. Ryan Stanek was every bit as advertised, and Michael Wacha, mm-hmm. Holy cow, that changeup is good. I mean,
yes.
I've seen him on TV, and, you know, you can only get so much of a look on TV, but seeing him in person and sitting right behind the plate, the fastball is, you know, a good fastball, you know, sitting in the low 90s, and he's got the good frame. The changeup it just disappears.
It came as advertised.
Exactly. You know, he's got the same arm speed. It's really deceptive. But even then, the curveball's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't forget about the curveball
and
just look for the changeup. It's also a good pitch.
He was impressive, and he works fast, too. I mean,
really quick tempo, which is awesome because, you know, as much as we love to go to the park, we don't like to spend 4 hours watching one game. So with quick innings, it's really nice.
Yep. Of course, Mark Appel was there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kevin Gausman both showed real good velocity, 92, 94 range. I think the strength of the college class is in the pitchers. There's some good arms. You know,
there are definitely some questions about the hitting side of the college class, but I don't think there's any shortage of college pitchers.
Right.
You know, we saw some very good ones this weekend, and we saw some we didn't see some.
You know,
some guys that are playing in the Cape or taking the summer off or,
sure.
You know, things like that, excuse me, but
yeah.
It definitely no shortage of good arms.
Yeah, I think two of the guys that I was hoping to see, Adam Brett Walker at Jacksonville and Victor Roach at Georgia Southern, they're both up in the Cape. They weren't with this team, but heard, you know, nothing but good things about those guys. And
big power.
Yeah,
big
time power.
Guys.
And so Aaron Fitt, our college guy, is going to see them up in the Cape later on this summer. And lucky for us, they both play at schools that might come up here to North Carolina in the spring.
Well, Georgia Southern's in the Southern Conference, so we can head out to my alma mater, Elon University.
There you go.
And see them. I do believe Georgia Southern's coming up here this year because I think Elon had to go down there for the series. I could be wrong. But then Adam Brett Walker, you know, hopefully, you know, Jacksonville will make a swing through here at some point.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to see those guys. But, you know, even if they don't come up, we get to see Marcus Stroman all spring, and he was electric.
He is nasty, man. He was up to 97 for us, for Team USA, and I think all but two or three of the outs he's recorded with Team USA have come via the strikeout.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, he's got a power arm with that kind of velocity on the fastball. But, you know, you and I always do the over-under on the first pitch from a guy, and the first two pitches we had to ignore because we were looking for the fastball, and he was throwing a plus slider.
Ooh, dirty.
It disappears,
pitch.
And he's really good.
Yes, he's going to be fun to watch, and he's going to be an interesting guy to kind of track. Because
guys are going
to
poo-poo the size.
Yeah.
You know, he's listed at 5'9", but he's strong, you know, so he's like 5'9", 180.
He's probably about 5'11 with his mohawk.
But, you know, with the hat, I'm sure it presses it down a little bit. But he's just got a power arm.
And
there
stuff.
Is definitely some effort in there. You know, it's unless you're Dylan Bundy, if you're 6 foot or under, there's going to be some effort, but it's not a ton. It's not really violent. And it just comes out of his hand easy. He's got a quick arm and just power stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What are your early impressions of the 2012 draft class in general?
Well, obviously, I don't think it's as deep as 2011 was, because 2011 was, you know, in terms of projection, historic. You know, we saw a lot of, you know, potential come out of this draft. It was really deep. 2012, I think it's a really deep year for the high school class. You know, you and I have been talking as to who's our number one's going to be. You know, not only do we not know who the number one is yet, we don't know who 1 through 5 or even 5 through 10 is.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there that have their name in the mix. You know, we could be talking about 20 guys for, you know, 5 to 10 spots.
Yeah.
So it's obviously a very deep class, and no one's really completely separated themselves yet. And then on the college side, you know, it's going to be pitching heavy. The college hitters are looking kind of questionable. You know, last year we were talking about Kenny DeKroger, who was a good player, but he's not the top college hitter.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about maybe Devin Marrero, but, you know.
Those guys I mentioned up in the Cape, I mean, right, those guys are going to be right up there.
Exactly. So, I mean, you kind of, while we're struggling to find out who, you know, the top 10 are for the high school guys, we're struggling to find out who is the college hitter, you know, or the top 5. You know, we're trying to find names for that rather than whittle them out. So
yeah.
I think that's, you know, going to be the interesting thing. But other than that, you know, it still looks like a good class again.
Yep, so. I agree. And, you know, the thing about the high school side is this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, at this point last year, we hadn't seen Taylor Guerrieri or Jake Hager, mm-hmm, or, you know, Larry Green or Josh Bell.
Right.
I mean,
somebody's going to pop up between
now and
spring.
Yeah, there's always guys
that
pop up later in the summer or in the spring. So, you know, just keep following baseballamerica.com to find out who those guys are, because, you know, we're going to keep going out to these events. You're going to be at East Coast Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going out to Area Codes, and then we're both going to Under Armour.
Right. We're going to be in Chicago in August, and then obviously, you know, we'll see some stuff in the fall, and – you know, things are going to keep changing, and there's going to be new and good information. So
yep,
keep following us on Twitter and on Baseball America, and we'll get as much info out there as we can.
Absolutely. Yeah, so if you're listening and you want to read more about some of these draft prospects, make sure to check out Baseball America, because it's a must-read for baseball fans from high school to the big leagues. Right now, you can try 4 issues for just $4 by visiting baseballamerica.com/MLB Network. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for the download. For Nathan Rohde, I'm Connor Glassie.